We are going to be starting a series about once saved, always saved. And this morning, the question is salvation like a race? Can we be disqualified? Find the answer to that question in today's episode.
God's Resistance.
Thank you for tuning into God's Resistance. We're glad to have you here with us. We're going to be looking at a certain section of scripture here this morning. We're going to be starting in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and then looking at the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. So without further ado, let's start here. Do you know, or don't you know, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run like that, that you may win. Every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run like that, not aimlessly. I fight like that, not beating the air, but I beat my body and bring it into submission, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. So as we are going through this, we realize that Paul is using a lot of what they would have understood in Roman culture, which would have been Olympic Games, things of that nature. And in this particular instance, he's talking about a race. And he's comparing race, a race, to salvation. And so he wants to bring us along in a journey here, helping us to think through this and then applying it to salvation. So let's go back to verse 24. He said, "Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run like that, that you may win." So nobody is starting to just run a race in a situation like the Olympics or some kind of big competition just to run for fun. They're running to win. They train to win. They compete to win. And he's saying only one person will get that first place prize. And so you need to run like you mean it, like you are in it to win it. That's how you're supposed to run. Now, that's how they would do it in a normal race. And he's saying for salvation, that is exactly the way you need to do it in the ways of salvation. You need to run as if you mean to win it. Well, how do we do that? Let's go back here to the scripture. He says, every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now, think about this for a second. People who have some sort of athletic goal, they will train and train and train all throughout the season. They're going to change the way they eat. They're going to change how they sleep. They're going to change their exercise programs. They're going to deny themselves a whole lot of things because of that one goal that they have in mind. And here he said, every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. So the self-control is exercised before that race ever happens. All the practices and all the things these people do in their just regular alone time, let alone being with a trainer or a coach or something like that, they're exercising self-control. They're probably exercising self-control even in the race. I remember being in track and field. Now, I did pole vaulting. I did not do some of these other races, but I remember people saying something to the effect of the 400 meter was one of the more difficult ones to run because you couldn't go full out speed because you wouldn't be able to make it the full way around the track at full out speed. So the coach that we had said that you were to run at about 3/4 speed. And then at the last 100, you were supposed to then push it and do as best as you could with all of you got at that last 100 meter stretch. Now, see, that person who knows how to run the 400 well will exercise self-control even during the race while they're running and not burn out their energy before they get there. He's saying every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things, in every facet of life. There is not one stone left unturned as far as their self-control or their self-discipline is concerned because they are in it to win it. Now, he says, now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So think about it. They go through all these sacrifices, do all this stuff for, in those games, they would have had a wreath on their head. That wreath would have wilted, died, and then would have been gone. They had glory for about just a very quick amount, and then off they went. Now, I was thinking about this too. I remember my wife and I on our wedding day, there were so many different people that were there, and it was such a blur. We would read letters afterwards and be like, did you see this person? I didn't see this person. No, I don't remember seeing them either, but here's the card. And we sat and talked and thought, man, that was so crazy. I can hardly even remember that day. But the real marriage started after the wedding day, right? And it's the same thing. All this time, they put up to it, this race, it's all the glory and all that. But now that day's done. It all fades away, all the glory of it. Good thing the glory of marriage doesn't have to fade away. But just illustrating the point that there can be so much put on one day and then that day's gone. And he's saying these people are competing for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. Now here's where he's making the application to heaven. And he said, I therefore run like that, like he's in it to win it. He is running, controlling himself and self-control and discipline, and he's running in order to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore run like that, not aimlessly. I have an aim. There's a reason why I'm running. I have an overarching purpose above just, you know, eat, sleep, drink, tomorrow we die, have all your pleasures. This is the only life that's worth living right now. This is the only thing we got, and then after that, we're done. He said, no, I am running to win, and I am obtaining an incorruptible crown. And then he alludes to other things here inside of the games there that would have been in Rome. I fight like that, not beating the air, but I beat my body and bring it into submission. I think this would be another kind of allusion to boxing or something like that. Now, when they're boxing, they're not just, when they're practicing, they may be shadow boxing where they're, you know, putting their fists in the air and practicing speed and that kind of a thing. But when they're actually boxing, they have a target. They're going for the face. They're going for the jaw. They're going for the chin. They're going for the side, the kidneys. They have a purpose at to what they're doing. And Paul's like, I have a purpose too. I'm not just punching in the air. I'm not just beating in the air for no reason. I have a game to win, a crown to win, an incorruptible crown right there. So I'm not just beating in the air. He said, I beat my body and bring it into submission. Now, this is not countenancing all the crazy Catholic stuff about self-flogging and all that. That has nothing to do with what's going on here. He's saying beating my body. I'm telling my body who's boss. My body is coming into submission to my will, is what he's saying. I'm disciplining myself. And why is he disciplining himself? Well, let's look and see what it says. Lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Another version says disqualified. Lest I should be a castaway. This is the idea here. Paul says that there is a possibility that he might be rejected from the race, disqualified. He didn't compete right? And he said, I am doing it this way for myself because I don't want to be a hypocrite preaching to other people and then find I'm disqualified and I missed obtaining that incorruptible crown. Why would Paul say this except that there is a possibility that somebody could lose their crown. Somebody could be disqualified from the race. Now, going back to the race allusion here, if you were running in a race and you didn't compete according to the rules, they would disqualify you. And even if you crossed the finish line and the ribbon broke because you went through first, you would be disqualified because you didn't compete the right way. And it's the same in the Christian life. If we do not walk with Jesus, if we do not walk according to the scriptures and obey the Lord and walk with him and abide in him, we can be disqualified from the race and then end up not entering in. You may say, well, that's not what this is talking about. Well, I would say if you were to just read this barely, just the way that I had it right now, just when I say barely, I mean, read it for its bare naked truth. If you were to look at this, what other conclusion could you come to if you were to be honest with yourself in what this says? He is talking about this race, and he's talking about doing everything it takes to win, disciplining your own body, not allowing the flesh to be able to control everything, but the spirit to have full reign inside of your heart so that you may win that incorruptible crown. I don't see how else that can happen. But if you weren't convinced there, let's move on to the next chapter in chapter 10. He said, now I would not have you ignorant, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So here he's going back to the whole Exodus thing. Now, that Red Sea, when the Red Sea was parted and God had the people of Israelites, the Hebrews, coming through there on dry land, that was a type of salvation. You can find that evidenced in the New Testament when it's referring back to that occasion. He's saying here they all were together as one. they all heard Moses speak. They were all baptized into Moses. They all saw the cloud. They all ate the same drink and all that kind of thing. They followed the same spiritual rock, and that spiritual rock was Jesus Christ. But here is where the point he's making again. However, with most of them, those people, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, that was then. That doesn't apply to right now. We'll look at verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So here, if we were to look at this, they followed that same spiritual rock, Christ. In other words, they all experienced the mighty deliverance of God, that Red Sea deliverance. They were all a saved people. That is the typology as far as the New Testament is concerned. They were all a saved people. But then what happened was they were overthrown in the wilderness afterwards. Why? Because they lusted after evil things. And he says that is used as an example to you and I, as a warning to us. From what? As a warning that even after we are saved, if we were to turn back and go and fulfill our lusts and fulfill evil lusts and to go in that direction, he is saying you will also be cut off. There were those people that did not enter the land of rest. They are cut off. They died in the wilderness, though they had previously experienced that Red Sea deliverance. And that is what is going on in our day. There are a lot of people that say that they gave their lives to Jesus, and they may very well have. But Jesus said, there's coming a day where we're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't I cast out devils in your name? Haven't I done this, that, and the other thing? We've got a long list of what we've done for the Lord. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's a never knowing. But then here he's talking about these people did know. And these people were overthrown in the wilderness because they gave way to evil lusts. Then when we move to verse 7, he says, don't be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let's not commit sexual immorality as some of them committed. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Now here, their problem was sexual immorality in the Corinthian church, amongst other things. But that was a big problem. So naturally, he is speaking about that. But it's not a twist to say that this is talking about any evil lust or desire, and we can make that application. Specifically, that's the application in Corinth. But broadly, we can grasp from all this that this is talking about a life of sin in general. Any wickedness can sever us from Christ. And so he said, let's not test Christ, in verse 9, as some of them tested and perished by the serpents. Don't grumble, as some of them also grumbled and perished by the destroyer. Now listen, he said, let's not test Christ as some of them tested. Remember, they were following that spiritual rock, which is Christ. He said, you don't test him either, lest you also perish like they did. Using that historical occurrence and applying it to the Christian life in the New Testament, by the way. And he says, don't grumble as some of them also grumbled and perished by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition or warning, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Wow, so he's applying it to us in this way. And here's where it comes to the crux. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands be careful that he doesn't fall. And that is often what we find in modern day evangelicalism. You know, we can say once we're saved, we're always saved, and then we just live however we please after this. Hear the warning of the scripture. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands be careful that he doesn't fall. That is the point. That is the race that we're running. If we can be disqualified, we can then forfeit the crown that could have been ours if we were to compete in the way that we should have, if we followed the rules, if we abided in the vine, if we continued to walk with Jesus, if we repented of our sins, if we lived a holy life. Do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We're moving forward. I am not going to do the thing that nailed Jesus to the cross again, having now given my life to him. I'm moving forward, and I'm in it to win it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win it. I'm walking with Jesus. And then here he says, take heed lest you fall. You that think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Sounds very sobering. Now, where are you, dear listener? Are you in that situation where you think, I have got that security and I don't care? Or are you in jeopardy of being disqualified? If this has been a blessing to you, then I would ask for you to like, subscribe, comment below, and also visit godsresistance.com. Very thankful for your support, and keep reading the Bible. Lord bless you.